This week in our study in Colossians, because I wasn't going to start my Mother's Day sermon with wives submit to your husbands. Not that there's not good teaching there, and we're going to get to that next week, but that's not where I wanted to go today. That's not a good way to start it. So open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. A kid once asked his dad, I heard this one, what's a man? And the dad says, a man is someone who is responsible and cares for the family. And the kid says, boy, I hope I can be a dad one day just like mom. Right? Yep. You know, there was this little boy was attending his first wedding, right? And after the service, he was talking to his mom, and his mother asked him, son, do you know how many women a man is allowed to marry, right? They were talking about the idea of marriage. And the boy said, yeah, mom, 16. And she looked, she says, what? She goes, yeah, a man's allowed to marry 16 women. And she said, are you sure? She says, yeah, that's what the pastor says. It's easy. She says, all you have to do is add it up. Like the pastor said, four better, four worse, four richer, and four poorer. That's 16 women. I thought that was pretty funny. I thought that was pretty good. Good math for the kid, right? But the truth about the matter is, I don't know about y'all, but in our home, Maria does the work of 16 people. And I know so many of you ladies do the work of 16 people, right? There's so many things going on. We try to honor Maria Webb a lot. I remember one time the kids, Maria woke up on Mother's Day morning. We don't usually get to do a lot because we have to be at church early. But she was in bed and she smelled bacon, right? And she got kind of excited, you know? And she waited there and then finally nothing happened. So she went out to the kitchen and she found the kids, all three kids, sitting at the table eating. And they looked up there and they said, Mom, as a surprise, we made our own breakfast this morning. I had to take her out to dinner twice that day. They didn't really do that. That's a joke. One kid was asked, you know, if he says a prayer before every meal. And he says, no, my mom's a good cook. I don't have to do that. All right? Well, enough of the jokes. We love you, moms. But open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to share some. This will be like the shortest sermon of the year right here, because I want you to take your wives and your moms out, and I want you to call your moms. And again, I want you to rejoice in this. But I want to give an encouragement. It's typical on Mother's Day. What I've found is we tend to, I think, go to the wrong places in Scripture, right? Next week, we're going to get into Colossians, and we're going to talk about instructions to wives and instructions to husbands. And these are good and wonderful and God-glorifying things. But sometimes we tend to get in on Mother's Day, and it becomes almost a shackle on moms. How many of you guys have to suffer through, I hope it wasn't with me, but suffer through the painful preaching on Mother's Day of the Proverbs 31 woman? And all of a sudden, you're like, as you sit there and you find out that this is supposed to be this woman, and, you know, you get lower and lower in your chair because you know nobody, absolutely nobody, can do what the Proverbs 31 mother can do. Matter of fact, I want to free you right now, ladies. The Proverbs 31 mother is not about a woman. It's about the wisdom of God and the grace of God. It's not meant to shackle y'all. You don't need to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning sewing clothes and planting seeds and hanging out, bragging about your husband at the city gate. That's not what Proverbs 31 is about. Proverbs 31 is all about the glory of God and the grace of God. Okay? And I want you to remember that. So you'll never hear a message from me telling you You got to be like this Proverbs 31 woman. All right? But there is some wonderful things in the scripture about women. And I've chosen just one little verse, one passage in 2 Timothy to share today. And I want to share three things. I want to share with you quickly that godly mothers, first and foremost, exhibit faith. Second, that godly mothers teach about grace. And the third thing I want you to see is that all mothers need grace, encouragement, and love. So let's look at this today. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 3, and we're only going to go through verse 5. Paul is writing to Timothy to instruct him in his ministry, that Paul has left him, and he needs help, and he needs encouragement. And this is the way Paul encourages him. First, he says, I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. Let's pray, and I just want to spend a couple minutes there with you today. Father, I just pray that you would encourage everyone today. Father, for those who right now are celebrating with their mom, but I also pray for those who do not have those great memories. And maybe even motherhood for them is not something to celebrate. I would pray, Lord, that you would move in them, and that you would use your word to encourage them, and that you would bring peace in their hearts, that you would point evermore to our continual need for grace and for your mercy and for your love. Would you encourage all these moms today in that endeavor? And would you encourage these families to cherish them well? I ask these in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's interesting here as Paul writes to Timothy for the purpose of instructing him and encouraging him. Timothy is obviously having a difficult time in ministry. He's probably a fairly young guy in context. And he's teaching and he's leading this church. He's his elder over all these churches. And he's doing much the same work that Titus is doing. He's trying to instruct elders and equip the church for the work of ministry and challenge people. And there are people that are like coming after him and talking about him and not listening to him. And Paul wants to write and to just encourage him to like stay the course. It's worth it. Stay the course. And I find it very interesting that the first place that Paul goes to encourage Timothy is, first and foremost, his faith. He wants to remind Timothy that he is doing this, he's in the middle of this hard work, this challenge work, simply because he has come to trust in Jesus Christ. And there's lots of instruction there, by the way, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a promise that when we come to Jesus that everything will be easy. The gospel is not come to Jesus and Jesus will fix all your problems. Come to Jesus and all your relationships will be made right. Come to Jesus and everything will go well with you. And often is come to Jesus and in some ways we're going to suffer for the glory of God. Right? And Paul is reminding Timothy of that very thing. That I remember your faith, this hardship, these challenges that you're going through, it is because of this wonderful faith, and this faith that he knows Timothy has brings him joy. But I want you to see where that faith came from. Well, first, we know it came from the glorious grace of God, but who brought that? Who taught that faith? Who exhibited that faith? And we see in verse 5, I am reminded, he says, of your sincere faith. So Timothy has a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother, Eunice. How did Timothy come to have faith in Jesus Christ? By the means of his mother. Ladies, do you know that? So we don't know anything else about Eunice. We don't know how theologically sound she was. We don't know if she was like this master theologian. She probably wasn't. She was probably a woman of simple faith who just simply trusted in God. And somehow God used that to bring her son to faith, to now be a pillar in the New Testament church. And ladies, that should be freeing to you. Because God's not expecting you to have it all together. God's not expecting you to be somebody that's necessarily worthy of being in a history book. God wants you to just exhibit faith before your children. And trust that He can use that faith to do great things in them. It's really that simple. You're not shackled with a bunch of to-do lists. Trust Jesus and exhibit that faith before them. Quit carrying the load of fixing or making sure that everything is going to, your kids are going to get everything figured out, putting the weight of the world on your shoulders. It's not your job. Your job, first and foremost, as a godly mother, is to exhibit faith. That's all we know of Eunice. That's all that Paul felt needful to even say about her. Was that, Timothy, I rejoice and I long for you and I just rejoice in the faith you had. And I know you have that faith because that faith first resided in your grandmother and in your mother. And there's only one way that Paul knows this, is because they lived it out. They lived it out. Their lives were marked by a simple faith in Jesus Christ. Moms, I encourage you today. Make that the thing that your kids know. I think as mothers and as fathers, one of the greatest things we can ever have is at the end of our life and our children speak about us as they lay us to rest, that they had faith in Christ. And they exhibited it. They lived it out before me. That's our number one job. Ladies, that's your number one job, is to exhibit faith, a trust in Jesus Christ. No self-righteousness, no boastfulness, just a simple trusting in Jesus. That's the first thing. Godly mothers exhibit faith. But also, godly mothers teach about grace. Now, that's not explicitly stated in this verse. But we do know that Paul would not affirm Eunice's faith had it been a faith that trusted in anything other than God's grace. That would not have been genuine faith. Paul would not exalt a faith that is not based in grace. And therefore, Eunice, by what we can glean from this, exhibited this faith in Jesus Christ, right? By teaching about God's glorious grace in Christ. Moms, if you want to encourage your children, they're probably out there, but I personally don't know any moms that don't want the best for their kids. Do you want to know the best for your kids? Teach grace. Live with grace with them. Show grace to them. I'm not saying that we don't, that parents and mothers don't need to discipline kids and instruct kids, but boy, I'll tell you what, an act of grace often teaches far more than an act of punishment. Grace. Why do I say that? Because it's the very way that God reaches to us. You know, I was not a good son. Both in my teenage years to my earthly mother, but not even a good son to my heavenly father. But you know how he reached me? Grace. God never threw my shortcomings in my face. God never tossed me away because I wasted all the good things that he had given. But he came to me with grace. The scriptures say that God proved his love for me, for you, in that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Moms, you want to raise your children well? Grace. You can never have too much grace. I'm a firm believer in err on the side of grace. I firmly believe that this is the very thing that Timothy's mother taught him. She exhibited this faith, and she was a woman who taught and just poured out grace. Why? Because she had genuine faith. She understood grace. You cannot err too much on the side of grace. So that's very simple. Very simple. Right there. Moms, you want to raise your children well? You want to continue, even your children are as adults? You want to be a good influence in them? First, exhibit faith. Don't just let it be a mouth thing, but be a life thing. And teach about grace. So that's it for you. Now, ladies, you can be quiet because I'm going to talk to everybody else. Husbands, children. I don't care if you're 80, if your mama's still here, this applies to you. Husbands, I don't care. This applies to you. All moms. Good moms. Bad moms. Flawed moms. I would say perfect moms, but they don't exist. All moms. First of all, they need grace. They need grace. I don't know what it means to be a mom. I can tell you something, though. I will tell you. I love my kids more than anything on this earth. My wife and my kids are my life on this. But I have witnessed, and I don't mind saying this, I have watched, and I can tell that there is a love that Maria has for our kids that goes beyond, right? I'll give my very life. I'll die for my family. My wife lives for her family. And I don't know any mom that doesn't long for that. And they will make mistakes. Husbands, children, your mom will make mistakes. Your mom will sometimes make bad decisions. Your mom will sometimes react wrongly. You know what they need from you? Not judgment. Grace. Grace. And listen, if you're sitting here today and you don't have wonderful memories of your mom, I'm not trying to make light of it, but the gospel answer to that, the beginning to be healed, The beginning of healing from those bad memories of your mother is grace. It's grace. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of the journey is grace. All moms need grace. Second thing, all moms need encouragement. Husbands, especially from you. Especially from you. Your wife needs to hear from you how gosh darn proud you are of the work that she does. That you do not minimize the work that she does. Whether she's a bivocational mom, because that's what I call it, right? If you're working outside of the home, you're a bivocational mom because you got a job out there and you got a job in the home. Or whether she is a stay-at-home mom caring for the children, she needs to be encouraged in that endeavor. She needs to be lifted up in that endeavor and not looked down. I counseled a family one time. I shouldn't say one time. I've heard this too many times. And I've actually heard this come out of a man's mouth. Well, she should just be happy and she needs to do more because all she does is stay home with the kids all day and I'm out working. And so you know what? I challenge this guy. I don't think they ever did it. But I challenge this guy. I want you to try something. Why don't you take a week off? Take a week off of work. Send your wife away. Put her in a hotel somewhere. And you spend that whole week with your kid. They had four little kids. Four little kids. Two of them still in diapers. I said, you send your wife off and you take care of your kids. Because I promise you at the end of that week, you won't talk like that no more. She was like, yeah. I don't think they ever did it. You know what? But you know what she needed? She didn't actually need him or want him to pick up any slack at home. She understood he had a challenging job. She understood that. You know what she wanted? You know what she longed for the most? It's just for him to encourage her, to come home and say, you know what? You're doing a great job. Husbands, do that. A gentle hand, a gentle touch, a smile, and just an acknowledgement that you understand the value that she has. All moms need encouragement. All moms need encouragement. And the last is, all moms need love. All moms need love. They need to be cherished, cared for, served. Husbands, You do know, and we're going to get into this next week, by the way. You do know that the main instruction from the Lord to you concerning your wife is that you love her as Christ loved the church. Well, how did Christ love the church? By giving himself for her. Christ humbled himself by becoming a servant and sacrificing his very life for the church. Husbands, that's your call. I'm going to tell you right now, there is, apart from your devotion, as Paul would encourage believers in Romans 12, apart from your devotion to live a life as a sacrifice to God, that would be number one, right? That's every believer's first, like, holy seeking thing, right? Is to live a life to the glory of God. Husbands, the very next thing is to love your wife as Christ loved the church. You don't go any further. I've said this before, and I say this all the time, actually. How a man treats his wife says far more about what he believes than any testimony or doctrinal statement that he can make. I don't care what comes out of a man's mouth about what he knows about Jesus if he doesn't sacrificially, gently, compassionately, mercifully love his wife. It's nonsense. You can't claim to know the Jesus of grace, the Jesus of sacrifice, the Jesus of humility, the Jesus of love, and not treat your wife like that. Period. Period. Children. The number one way you love your mom is by obeying her, listening to her, cherishing her. There are people in this room right now. I've never, ever heard anyone say, I've done lots of funerals, far too many funerals. I've done lots of funerals for moms. I've never heard one person ever tell me, you know, I spent too much time with my mom. But I've heard a lot of people say they would give anything for just one more conversation. Don't let today go by. If you're estranged from your mother, and I'm not saying that there's not fault in there. I'm not saying that there's not sin. I'm not saying anything other than what I encourage you to do is, as much as it depends on you, be at peace. Seek reconciliation. If you have the chance today, make much of your mom. Don't let today go by. I can promise you one thing. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. Your mom needs grace. Your mom needs encouragement. Your mom needs love. That's my imperfect Mother's Day message. And I hope you guys carry it with you today. Make much of your mom today. Celebrate the gift that she is to you. Glenn, you have communion?